Hi there, and welcome to the Indie Film Review.
That's your right. One-stop ticket for indie films and reviews.
Do you have your ticket, by the way? Because if you don't, we're going to have to ask you to kindly exit the movie train. So, we like to watch movies.
I love to watch movies.
That's
like
right.
Like is such a weak word for
That's
my
right.
passion.
That's right. It's a baby
for
word
watching movies.
For children. And this episode, we watched Bottom of the World.
Yes, Bottom of the World. It was a really weird movie that I found on Netflix while browsing one day. And I'm like, huh, I'll just add that to my list of things to watch. So whenever it came time to pick the episode for this week, I'm like, hey, Jared, I got a list of things to watch. Why don't we watch this one? And I just threw a title at the wall and it stuck.
That's pretty much it. But before we get to this movie, we have a short film we'd like to do, right?
A short film from Zephyr Entertainment.
Yes, Zephyr.
I don't know. No, I'm just kidding, guys. You deserve real air horns that we can't afford.
We can't afford it. It's not in the budget. Sorry. It was around 30 minutes long. It's on YouTube if you'd like to watch it.
We will link to
Dan?
It. Yes?
How did you feel about this short film?
The thing that stuck with me in terms of this film was just the eeriness of it. Mm-hmm. The way it looks, like, there's so much excellent B-roll of just foggy mountainous ranges, and just the music in it is, it instills a fear of dread in you, because the movie's called Bum Promises. It's kind of like, it's set up like it's a horror or a thriller, and you don't know what this bum's deal is, but everything in the movie, like the cinematography and the sound, is leading up to this event that's going to transpire. And you feel it from the very beginning. So I liked that dread I felt, like, what the fuck is going to happen throughout the entire thing. It was really well placed. Whenever we actually got to it, it's not that I didn't like it, but I got lost. I'm like, where am I right now? Like, what is happening? Like, I feel like this film would really, really benefit from being a feature-length film, like getting more story in there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so the main gist of it is we got a hobo guy.
A hobo?
Who?
A hobum.
And he visits this brother and sister who just had one of their relatives, their father, I guess, pass away.
Yeah.
And the father his father knew their father.
Yeah, the collective fathers apparently knew each other because they were musicians.
My two fathers,
yes. They knew each other because they were musicians, and they have, like, this cool little story that they tell. I'm not going to give it away because, I mean, I feel like just the sense of dread that you get is worth the watch if you like horror movies. So I'm not going to spoil what the connection is, but that's what gets them into this relationship, this acquaintanceship, essentially, that they have.
I thought the movie was pretty good. The ending is definitely abrupt. It's one of those leaving you hanging type of things where you're like, what?
I'm okay with the vague ending because we don't really know what happened. I just want to know more about why the bum decided to approach them in the first place, outside of the father thing. You know what I mean?
It seemed like his motivations were money related. Like,
yeah,
he has to pay debts and he's got some other things going on. I guess I won't spoil. There were some pretty awesome lines. Like when he is talking to the owner of the house, that lady, and he says something to the effect of, like, I could fill your house with flowers. And it kind of made me think it was a threat, because the flowers that are already in their house are for their father who has passed away.
Yeah.
So they're only getting flowers when someone dies.
So
he's basically saying that. I was like, oh, this is a really good line. I like that line a lot.
Yeah.
So my one main issue with this movie is, I liked the impending, like, the evil, like, droning sound effects and stuff, but some of that blocked the actual audio of them talking. So the audio of them speaking was very low, and I had to turn on subtitles because I watched this on my TV. It's unfortunate, is what I can say.
Well, sound design aside, like, you know, it's just, it's amateur filmmaking. It's not amateur in a bad way, because amateur means to love. It's independent filmmaking. You're not going to get it's not an exact science, basically. So I was able to forego that because, again, I like the sound design a lot. I forgot his name is Haven something, but the guy who composed.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with the actual soundtrack. It's just the audio mix was off for me. I wish.
And the fucking bum. Mm-hmm. Jesus.
He's a spoopy guy.
He was awesome. I was so impressed by his creepy acting.
Mm-hmm. Crapting, we call it.
Crapting.
But yeah, overall, I liked it. I think it's a good 30-minute watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just turn those subtitles on and you'll do great.
Or just blast it out of your TV. It's totally fine with
fucking
that.
Crank that volume
but
up.
But yeah, A+ for sound and cinematography from my book. Mm-hmm. Keep up the good work. Keep sending us your stuff, Zephyr.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
We love you. I mean, I love you, Jared.
Oh. I'm not ready to commit. That's...
Yeah, Jared's not ready to commit.
I have commitment problems.
Now we're going to get into Bottom of the World.
Bottom of the World.
It's on Netflix if you would like to watch it.
It's on Netflix if you want to watch
Jared.
It. Yes?
Why don't you tell us a little bit about this movie?
Oh, I get to do it?
Yeah.
I get to do Dan's job. I get to do it. I'm going to do it. Oh, I'm going to do such a good job. Here I go. It's a movie and people are in it. And someone wrote it to make them say words, and they said it in front of a camera. I'm done. Is that good?
Yes, that's perfect. All right. Awesome. What did you like?
No. Let's actually get into it. Okay, so this film is about a couple who are
a couple of what?
God damn it. Couple of babies. Couple of.
You don't have to say a couple of
intelligent, fantastic individuals who are just trying to do their best. Okay. So we have a couple in a relationship together, Dan, and and they are going on a road trip to Los Angeles.
Yes,
and they go and they stop at this hotel. And they're like, hey, this hotel's familiar. And then every time they try to leave, the girl gets sick or she's not feeling well. And so they keep having to come back to the hotel. And then, so that's like the first 15, 20 minutes of the film. Then after that, it just becomes a weird dreamscape of insanity that yes. I can't really talk about unless
without
we spoil
spoiling.
The film.
Yeah. So
the film becomes very bizarre.
Yes.
It becomes way more than what I've just said. So if that sounds interesting to you, maybe check the film out or listen or hear the rest of our review and be your own judge. But let's get into it. Non-spoilers. Let's start by doing questions.
Okay.
How did you feel about the surreal nature of the film?
I'm a fan of surreal movies, period. Like,
yeah.
You know,
uh-huh.
What long list do we have? Like, any David Lynch film, fucking Holy Mountain. I don't know. Just surreal films to me fill me with wonder. No matter mm-hmm. how disturbing they become, I still have a sense of, like, whimsy in me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, a dark, whimsical journey that I've been taking on. Especially because, like, just dreams in general are so strange. Like, I had a dream. I'm not going to go into detail with it, but I had a dream that felt so real last night. Like, I lived an entire lifetime in my dream, and I tried to wake myself up, and I fucking couldn't. And it was a nightmare. But just the idea that dreams make the impossible possible, that's always going to be fascinating to me, no matter
what. Well, David Lynch's career is literally based on dreams.
Well, exactly.
He just dreams things and then makes them into movies. And it doesn't even try to explain most of the stuff that he puts into his films. He's like, you figure it out. You're the audience. Were you able to guess what was going on in this movie?
By the end, no. I was just along for the ride. The thing was, I let this movie take me. I didn't try to make sense of it as I was going because I knew it was just going to be something I wasn't going to expect. So I just let it go over and over and over again. And it made, I think it made for a better viewing experience for me. Like, I was engaged throughout the entire thing. I wasn't as engaged as Under the Silver Lake, because that's another very surreal movie.
Yeah.
But there was enough in this film to draw me into it. Like, I loved Jenna Malone in it. Mm-hmm. I was surprised by that. I loved Ted Levine. Douglas Smith did a really good job as, like, the anti-hero that we follow.
Yeah, Jenna Malone in this was really good.
Yeah.
She was fantastic. And maybe even stole the show.
I love seeing Ted Levine everywhere.
So, like, I had guessed early on what was going on because of one scene that we'll get into. Because the scene was just so intense. I'm like, there's no way this isn't a bigger part of the film.
Right.
But then I quickly threw away my hypothesis because I'm like, the rest of the film's not supporting what I'm thinking anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But then it turned out to be true. So it's like, what? Okay. How did you feel about the construction of the film then? If we get in the more technical side of it.
Well, surreal things are, let's put it this way. This was probably the most structured surreal film I've seen.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
Like, I was able to follow it very easily. Whereas things like a David Lynch film, I'm like, where the fuck are we right now?
Yeah, for sure. Like, so are we a bug right now?
This one had a logical, this one had a logical shift in it that I was able to follow very easily. And maybe the structural part of the surreal nature of the film was not up to snuff in that regard, because it was a very linear plot. I don't know. It was something that I was able to enjoy, at least. It didn't throw me for a loop.
Okay.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah, give me questions, Dan. I'm hungry for questions.
How did you like the settings of this movie?
Because at first we start off with like this very old-timey hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie gives you the impression that you're going to be at this hotel for the entire film.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of okay with that. I was like, this is a cool hotel. You know, is it going to be like a weird, creepy hotel movie? And then the setting shifts so dramatically. I loved it. I liked that a lot. I was like, whoa, okay, now we're here? What the fuck? So I liked the transitions. I liked, I guess this was all filmed in California in the desert, like maybe near Reno or whatever. But I liked all the different locations. I definitely wasn't bored by the scenery or anything like that. I thought the film was also constructed very well. I didn't see really any issue. I wasn't annoyed by like any editing problems or even like the script, I thought conveyed the story well enough. I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't think there was any one issue with the film that I could find. If that makes sense.
I tend to agree with that for sure.
Now, does this film elevate itself to like a position of being better than just okay? In my mind, I don't think so.
No, it doesn't.
I think it's just a competently done movie. Like, if we were to give it one of our ratings, like, this would be a movie if I was like in a plane, I'd be like, I'll watch this. It's like I'll watch it on a plane movie. I'll upgrade that too, because I would just watch this.
I would I'm going to elevate it to, if Netflix. I want to see every Jenna Malone movie, then that's what I'm going to watch. Because I do like Jenna Malone a lot.
Dan's other side podcast, Maloney Madness.
Maloney Madness.
Maloney Baloney. Yeah! Tune in for that, guys. That's going to be spicy, spicy, spicy.
Yeah, I like to put Tabasco in my Maloney Balonies.
Oh, no. So anyway, what do you say? You think we should just spoil the fuck out of this movie?
Yeah, because there's thing I don't know how to talk about without spoiling it. But
we gotta. It's the only way to talk about this film is spoiling it.
My next question for you, Jared, is how did you feel about the Hooded Man?
The Hooded Man. I don't know if he needed to be in the film.
I don't either. That's exactly where I thought you were going to go with that. He, at best, provided some interesting dialogue, but it didn't work for me.
The places that he takes the main character, I feel like the main character could have taken himself.
Yeah.
Like, the movie could have just forced him to go there without having a
you know what I think it is? So, the Hooded Man has a Glasgow smile or a Chelsea smile, however you want to say it.
Yeah.
The
scars. With the Joker face.
The Joker face, yeah. And I think the director just liked that aesthetic so much that he wanted to put one person with that in his film.
Yeah, because there's a whole thing with, like... Okay, well, this is spoilers, right? Okay, so we're going to talk about spoilers right now. So if you want to watch this movie, go find it. It's on Netflix. This hooded man that we find throughout the film, who's like an angel of death, is the main character, is the main male character. And this whole... I mean, because like he does the cutty face and you're like, oh, you're starting to realize, oh, he's the angel. But that doesn't mean anything. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a real revelation to find out that this guy is actually the angel. The real revelation is to find out what's really going on
and
with the male main character.
And what is really going on.
So, how I understand it, the male main character was in a car accident in the real world that left him in a coma. And the female lead, when she was a little girl, was charged with taking care of him in a vegetative state. So, I mean, like he couldn't move or whatever, whatever. So he could feel and understand everything that was happening. He just couldn't respond at all and do anything about it.
Mm.
And this girl would
sexually abuse him.
Yes, sexually abuse him, torture him. Do all these terrible things to him because nobody was supervising this little girl and she just treated him like a doll. His whole existence during that time was horrific. And I guess at the very end of it all, he was buried alive by this girl. And she basically just claimed that a man in a mask came in and raped her and then killed the cousin, which was all fabricated. So she's had to live with that guilt her entire life. Even like as a young child, it might be harder for her to understand what she really did. And then as she got older, she's like, oh, those things I did were fucking terrible. I treated this person like an object. And she felt so guilty for it that she overdoses. She takes a bunch of pills and drinks a bunch and falls into a deep sleep, which eventually leads to her death. So...
Somehow,
the main male character is in the dream of the female character while she's trying to have these fantasies of her. First, it starts out, it's like her and the cousin are grown up and they're together and they're going on a road trip
and fucking.
They're having a lot of fun and they're fucking. And
they are pretty much fucking.
Oh, yeah. And actually, a pretty hot sex scene, by the way, that first one. I was like, ooh,
well, it was
spicy,
and it was tastefully
spicy.
Edited too. They edit in little blank spaces between the sex scenes.
Okay,
if that makes sense. And yeah, it's edited to music, and it looks really cool. It was actually tastefully done. I did like it.
And then they edit in another sex scene within the sex scene. It seems like. But that, I think, is an allusion to when she was a little girl and she would, like, dance for him. And
yes. We call that
basically
inception
sexually
in
abuse
the
him. Then the film takes him to a whole other world of, like, him living with another woman who's his wife. And he works at a business and he has all these things. And his next door neighbor is the female main character who lives with her dad, who is, like, this preacher. And then it becomes all of that. And then him trying to understand, like, am I in a dream? I need to get back to reality, which he thinks is the road trip reality. He thinks that's real. But now he's trapped in the, what would be the family man reality, I guess. And then he gets obsessed with the peas, which made me laugh a lot. We have
this movie, for some reason,
monologue.
This movie references Close Encounters of the Third Kind twice.
Really?
So,
okay, tell me.
The first time, Jenna Malone, during the road trip scene, says the exact line from Close Encounters, which is, this means something, something important. And then the whole obsession with the peas reminded me of him doing the mashed potatoes on the, like, what that line is a reference to in Close Encounters.
Okay.
So it just, it felt like very Spielbergian in that regard, but yeah, that doesn't mean that he was actually trying to rip off Spielberg. You know, it's just, it's a weird movie, bro.
I mean, we got to figure out what's going on with these peas. So the idea of the pea is he has a bunch of peas, right?
Yeah.
He sorts
through
them.
This is fucking cool. This is cool. I did like
it. It is kind of interesting. And then his wife is like, what are you doing? Everyone already thinks he's crazy.
Comment about the wife relationship to him. That I feel like his relationship to that wife was so authentic because she's not, she doesn't want to trod too far into we need to get you help. So she's like kind of taking everything as it comes and she's very cautious about it, but she's indulging it. It was so well done.
It was very well done. I mean, the acting in this movie I thought was really good. So he's sorting these peas out and he's telling his wife, he's like, okay, I think this is a dream. Like, what's going on right now? And you're a dream too. But if this was a dream, why is there a rotten pea in this dream? Because if I was dreaming this, why would I
take the time?
Why would I take the time to just make one rotten pea in all of these peas? It doesn't make sense. Which is very interesting. But then it's like, you find out that it's not his dream, it's someone else's dream. So then, why is someone else dreaming that? Is she trying to dream that to convince this other person that it's a dream? And then here's my other thing. So, is the main character, the male main character, a dream too? And all of this is just in the female lead's head.
That's what I'm getting.
Because she's overdosing, right?
Yeah.
Because the whole time, it almost feels like the... once we get into the family section, when she's the next door neighbor, she's just kind of like, she expects him to break into the house and do all this stuff and to rape her, which he doesn't. But she's like, almost wants that to happen, which is kind of crazy. And then expects him to take her to the desert and bury her and hit her with a shovel. Because she's like, let's do this. Like, this is why we're here. So I think I understand that part of it, because it's like punishment.
Right.
She knows that what's happening is punishment for her and what she's done, and that she's going to die because she's intentionally trying to kill herself.
So one thing that we didn't do was at the very, what sets this whole narrative into a spiral is at the very beginning of the film, they're flirting with each other. They take a drink of Jose Cuervo, product placement. You can't hide that Cuervo bottle from me, sir.
That's right.
They play a game where it's like, what's the worst thing you've ever done?
Oh, God.
Basically, this girl tells the entire story that me and Jerry just told you to this guy. And the guy's just like,
what? Of abuse. Of when she was a little girl, she abused this.
And then she says, oh, I'm just
paralyzed
kidding.
Man. But yeah, then she plays it off as a joke, which is like, there's no, it was so intense and vivid. I was like, no way that was a joke. Unless, because then it started to make me think, oh, this character is crazy. She's a crazy lady.
That's what I thought.
But that's what the movie wants you to think. Oh, okay. So something very funny that happened during this. So I'm watching this scene, right? It is harrowing. It is so disturbing. My mouth is agape. I'm just like, this is crazy. And then my girlfriend, because it's kind of late, so she's about to go to bed. She's not really going to be watching the movie with me.
Mm-hmm.
She's looking on her phone, looking at like cat pictures. I don't know what the fuck. And then she's listening to what's going on. She looks up, and she goes, "Oh my God!" And I thought she was responding to what she was saying, but then she goes, "Her hair is terrible." Like, that's what you took from this?
Well, see, what's funny is that was almost synchronicity, because my wife was sitting there doing something with her work, and as she's listening to it, and it gets to the part where she, like, and I would jack him off, my wife's like, what the fuck are you watching?
Oh, man. And for the record, I thought her hair was great. Okay? So I stand against her in that regard.
Still not her best movie. Here's a fun game.
Sure.
Instead of my podcast, I'm going to take my podcast name and put it here. And this game is called Maloney Baloney, all right?
Ready? All right, here we go.
So what do you think Jenna Malone's better role was? In Donnie Darko or in Neon Demon?
Oh, shit. Well, I remember Neon Demon more than Donnie Darko. I haven't seen that. What was she the
She was the love interest in Donnie Darko.
She was the love interest. Yeah, I can't. I couldn't really tell you because I haven't seen that movie in so long. I don't remember her in that.
Neon Demon, though, it's a tough call, but I think Neon Demon is her better role.
If you guys haven't seen Neon Demon, go fucking watch that movie. That movie is really good.
It's really good.
It is fucking insane. That would be considered like a psychedelic kind of dreamlike.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. It's a wild movie. Didn't that have like a weird guest appearance by like a high end, a top tier actor? I forget who it was.
I don't remember.
Like a big name actor shows up in that for like a scene as like a landlord, if I remember correctly. It's weird.
Oh, Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves is just randomly in this movie as a real like scumbag. It's pretty great.
Oh, he plays a scumbag really well too.
He does. He does. Are there any scenes you want to talk about?
We have yet to talk about the fact that fucking Ted Levine is in this movie. We're going to just end on this. So Ted Levine plays at first a preacher.
Yeah.
Who he's like a televangelist and he's like just broadcasting. It seems he's broadcasting straight to the TV of the hotel.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And his church is, called the First Church or fuck, I don't know.
Does it matter?
The Rock of the Sufferer or something. Yeah. I guess it doesn't. Anyway, he plays a preacher who, like, kind of knows a little bit too much about the main guy character.
Way
and the main
too
guy character
much.
Is starting to figure out that it's really a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wakes up after this. And then, basically, Ted Levine plays this girl's dad.
Yeah.
And that's it. I don't know what else
to say. And that's it. Well, there's an interesting thing where the male lead keeps trying to get weapons or like get things to protect himself and they keep disappearing from him.
Yeah, that was cool.
So he's like, you don't have the gun anymore. Like, cause he finds a gun in a Bible when he's talking to Ted Levine or whatever, the preacher. And then he takes the gun to defend himself. And then when he goes to confront him, he's like, yeah, you don't have that gun anymore. And that keeps happening to him. Kind of putting him in like this helpless state of like, there's nothing physical that you can do to solve whatever problem you're in, I guess. I guess besides the ending when he hits her with a shovel. What did you think about the grocery store scene?
I'm blanking. Hold on.
He follows the female lead.
Oh, he follows her into the grocery store and then she confronts him.
Kind of. She kind of like disappears and then some eggs fall. And then one of the eggs.
Oh, and he sees blood in the
full
egg.
Full of blood. Yeah.
I was like, that was fucking
I
mean,
they
just
wild.
What? Okay, so it wasn't necessarily just that part of it was memorable to me. So it just added to like this kind of surreal journey I was taking. It was more filler to me than anything.
Yeah. How about that? The female lead was drinking the entire film and taking pills.
Oh, clues.
Yeah. So it kind of tells you because
she's
like
breadcrumbs
because she's getting sick. And then later on, she's like, oh, I'm fine. Or the guy's like, how come you didn't get a hangover? She's like, oh, I'm doing good. It's because it's a fucking dream. But yeah, she's like perpetually, even in her own dream, self-medicating and trying to suppress what had happened. I wonder if he didn't kill her, if he didn't hit her with the shovel at the end, would she have woken up from the overdose? Like that was the deciding factor of if she would to die or not. So then if that's really him, was he deciding to forgive her or not? Or was it all just punishment in her own head? That's the biggest mystery that you can only draw conclusions yourself is this someone else trapped in a dream or was it all one person's dream and it was all her repentance for something that she did a long time.
I like
pretty
that.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay, so final thoughts. What do you think?
Could use more Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. So if they took the setting and like put it in like a futuristic world where you could tackle problems in different ways, say by hacking or by stealth or by brute force maybe. And you could maybe jack in to a cyberverse.
Yeah. I think
that would really help the movie.
And then maybe if we can include like a tragic backstory, like somebody's dog dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Like a robot dog maybe got powered down, and you have to get revenge.
Oh, wait. Maybe. Here, ready for this?
Okay. Y'all ready for this?
So, picture this. Ready? Same dream that we always had, right?
Okay.
But this time,
same as it ever was.
This time, there's a bus.
Okay. That's it? Wow, Dan's imagination, everybody. Oof. Wow.
Wow, Jared.
Are you the bus driver?
Okay. Speed, asshole.
If you said the bus couldn't stop, that would make more sense. That's like me trying to reference. What would it be? It'd be like, okay, I want to make a movie, but there's shrimp in it. Forrest Gump, guys. Forrest Gump. It's like, get the fuck out of here. That's why we pay you the big bucks.
Oh, you're so funny.
Thank you. No one ever said that to me before. I really appreciate it.
Anyways, please find us where you're going to find us. You're going to find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You're going to find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can find us on Facebook. You can email us at The Indie Film Review. The Indie Film Review at gmail.com.
Gmail. We are on Podbean, being hosted currently at indiefilmreview.podbean.com. If you like this show, you'll probably like all the other lovely shows at the Necroponicon Network. They are our internet friends and forcibly real-life friends, because we will come to their house and make them handshake and play Jenga with us, and they're gonna love it. They just don't know
yet.
I
love Jenga.
See, we love Jenga.
I get really into it.
Incorporate them into our Jenga family.
Yes.
And if you like podcasts, I think you're gonna like these guys. They're all really entertaining. They do a lot of D&D podcasts. There's movie podcasts, comedy podcasts. There's lots of stuff going on over there. They have a Discord, Necroponicon Discord. That's really great. But yeah, there's a website, there's everything. So just go find them, necropodicon.com. You're going to like the way you look. That's their guarantee.
Amen. And how?
So unless there's anything else, I think Dan, you have the final word.
So you're saying that I can dodge bullets?
You've just finished listening to a Necroponicon Podcast Network show, and boy was it scary. Or not scary. If you wanted it to be scary, or you like scary things, you should head on over to necroponicon.com to check out my new podcast, Shivers. Every other week, I sit down to explore all things scary. While you're on the website, check out all of the other great shows that the Necroponicon Network has to offer. That's necroponicon.com.